Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
I'm going to read to you Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, all right? And then I'm going to focus a lot of our time, we're going to focus on really on verse 3. Everyone say the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's going to be our topic this morning. You know, I really feel like the Lord wants to encourage us about the gospel of the kingdom. All right. And so we're starting our series today in the book of Acts. Last week I did the introduction. And so I want to read verses 1 through 8 to you, and then we'll get into what the Lord has for us today. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So listen, as we study the book of Acts together, you know, we're going to see very clearly that the early church impacted the world greater than any other group in history. And the thing that's amazing about this is that they did this without ever having attended a church growth seminar. They did it having never attended, you know, a church planting forum. You know, they didn't have a well-thought-out management strategy. You know, they didn't have a marketing scheme. You know, they didn't have the social media platforms that we have today. You know, they didn't have any of that stuff. They impacted their church, impacted the world they lived in, really through, it wasn't through adding more programs. Come on, are you hearing what I'm getting at? You know, it wasn't because they graduated from the best colleges and received the highest degrees or doctorates. It wasn't because they were flawless human beings. They impacted the world the way they did because they were ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was their simple clue. That's what they did. That's all it was. And they knew that in Zechariah 4:6 that God said, it's not by your human might, it's not by your human power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord, right? And so Jesus got his disciples together in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and he told them, don't depart from Jerusalem. Now understand, he's risen from the grave, but he hasn't ascended into heaven yet. And so Jesus is meeting with his disciples. He met with them for about 40 days, and others, you know, you can read in Corinthians that Jesus met with like 500 people at once. They saw him resurrected. And so he was proving to them that he was alive through all these different things, but he was meeting with his disciples before he ascended into heaven because he had some final words of instruction for them as they were to go out and change the world and minister this gospel. Come on, are you hearing this? So when Jesus died and resurrected from the grave, man, that validated his sacrifice, but it was only the beginning of what the Lord would do through the Holy Spirit and through his church. And so Jesus gathered his disciples together in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem. You know, it was a command. This was not a suggestion. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And we know that's the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. So basically what Jesus was telling his disciples, and we need to hear this today, Jesus was saying, don't leave Jerusalem with just another story about my life, death, and resurrection. You need more than that. And then he goes on to say in verse 5 that John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, it hasn't happened yet, church. A lot of people think that when Jesus resurrected, when he came in John chapter 20, we don't have it on the screen, but remember he said, peace be with you? And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Yes. At that point in time, the disciples got born again. See, they weren't born again until, they couldn't get born again until Jesus died, right? So after Jesus died, he resurrected and he came into that room. He just appeared through the walls and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It was at that time that they got born again. So everyone say, so at that time they were saved by the Spirit. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, when he says, you know, don't depart from Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 5, he said, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, there was a different experience by receiving the salvation of the Spirit than what they're going to receive with the infilling of the Spirit for power and ministry. Yeah, so we have to identify these two things because many of us are walking in one relationship with the Holy Spirit, and we'll get into this next week, but there's three relationships with the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit when he's with us, and the Holy Spirit with us is encouraging us to hear the gospel. So every time somebody says, man, Jesus Christ died for your sins, the Holy Spirit is with you saying, that's true, believe in it, open your heart to him. And then when we open up our heart to him, first he was with us, we open up our heart to him, and he comes in us. And now we have the Holy Spirit living in us, but there's another experience where he comes upon us. And when he comes upon us, he says, you shall receive power in Acts 1:8 to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. Amen? And so this is what Jesus' instructions were to his disciples. You know, he said, wait for the Spirit. Be baptized in the Spirit, and then receive the power of the Spirit. That was it. These were his final instructions, some of his final instructions to the disciples to send them out in ministry. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you have an assignment on your life. Yeah, do you understand, church? Listen, this is why we come to LWC, is to equip you and send you out. Do you understand? We're not trying to build something here to keep you here. We want you to come in here, get some instruction, get filled with the Spirit, get some ideas so that you can go out and you begin to further the kingdom of God. Yes. Do you understand that's our mission? Yes. That's our mission. You know, so I want to encourage you that this is what's happening. So I was thinking, man, what do we really need today? You know, what do we really need? I mean, what do you need personally? What do I really, really need? And I was thinking, you know, I can list some things that I don't need right now in my life. And I'm going to tell a couple of these things and you can see if you can agree. At this point in time in my life, I really don't need anything more to put on my calendar. Yeah? I mean, I really don't need any more scheduled programs. I don't need any more meetings to attend. I don't need it. I'm not saying they're bad things. I just don't need that right now. I don't need any more fleshly striving. Come on. Yeah, striving after things in the flesh, right? I don't need to be stressing out over things I can't change. And let me say this too. I don't need any more conflicts with people who don't want to change. Yeah? And I'm not saying that to be mean. But there's certain things that I have to look at my life and say, man, I got to categorize and say, man, what am I going to spend my attention on? What am I going to focus on so that I can make the greatest impact? You know, I don't need any more social media platforms to demand my time or distract me. Come on, are you hearing this? You know what else I don't need? I don't need any more slick presentations by teachers who use words I can't understand because they're over my head. Yeah. I need real. Listen, I don't need one more prophecy that speaks over my head but doesn't penetrate my heart. I don't need it. I don't need it in my life. Let me tell you what I do need. This is what I need more than anything. I need the Holy Spirit's fullness washing over me and through me continually, every minute of every day. That's what I need. How about you? You know, so I'm thinking about LWC and where we're at. You know, and this is what I was thinking. Man, if we stripped everything away, you know, everything got stripped away, and the only thing that we were left with was the Word of God and the Holy Spirit teaching us and leading us and guiding us, I think we'd be all right. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. Yes. I think that we as a church, I think that we as individuals, man, I think we need a fresh and continual outpouring of the Spirit in this hour. I think so. That's why we're going into the book of Acts, because that was the early disciples, that was the early church's secret, was they were completely and totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, they didn't have all the stuff that we have. They didn't have the social media. They didn't have, you know, the buildings. They didn't have a budget. They didn't have buses. They certainly didn't have any bling bling, you know. It was all about expanding and advancing the kingdom of God and telling people about Jesus and getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I feel like the Lord is pulling the curtain back. He's pulling things back. He's stripping things away, you know, so that we can kind of get our focus on what the Lord wants us to do. You know, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will make things begin to happen in your life. Come on, can I tell you that? Listen, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will change you. Yeah. The power of the Holy Spirit will change your marriage. Come on, I'm telling you. The power of the Holy Spirit will change your marriage from bad to good, good to better, and better to best. Yeah. The power of the Holy Spirit will strengthen your family structure. Listen, let me tell you this. The power of the Holy Spirit will prosper your business. The Holy Spirit will give you favor with not only your employees, but those that are seeking your services. Yeah, the power of the Holy Spirit will change every aspect of your life for the better. And so the book of Acts is all about ordinary people like you and me doing extraordinary things by the power of the Holy Spirit freely and continuously moving through them. Amen? So listen, how many of you know that Jesus was dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit for his ministry? Yeah. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is where Jesus came in. He found the scroll of Isaiah, and he unrolled it. And he was speaking. This was written about him, but he was speaking it. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." So listen, even though Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and even though he was completely sinless and completely perfect, man, he didn't attempt his ministry without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen, can I tell you what the Lord's about to do here? The Lord's about to transfer everything he transferred to the early apostles in a fresh way in your life. Yeah, and listen, this is what we need to be looking for. You know, I feel that we need to have a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will tell us things to come, right? The Holy Spirit will give us remembrance of all things. And the Holy Spirit really is the third person of the Trinity. So it's he, not it. Yeah, the Holy Spirit isn't an it. He's the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so I wanted to walk you quickly. I'm going to do this in two sections today. I just want to walk you through the pathway to Jesus' ministry, okay? Because how many of you know that Jesus began his ministry at 30 years old? I mean, when you think about Jesus, I mean, usually this is how we think about Jesus. We think about him at Christmas because he was born in a manger. So we think about the infant Jesus. But man, have you ever thought, man, when did he roll over for the first time? You know what I mean? When did he finally scoot himself up on his little knees and crawl? When did he finally pick himself up and take his first step? You know, you ever think about Jesus as a toddler? How about 8 years old? 9, 10, you know, at 12 years old, we knew what happened, right? His parents kind of left him behind in a caravan. They traveled 3 days away, had to turn around to go find him, you know, and they found him. Mom's going, "You worried us sick. What's going on?" He goes, "Didn't you know I must be about my father's business. He was in the temple. So we knew what happened at 12. But what about 13, 15? Man, how about 17, 18 years old? You know what I'm saying? 19, 22, 25. So all of this stuff, Jesus had not entered into his ministry until he was 30 years old. And so I want to show you the pathway from when he was 30 until, well, we know that his ministry only lasted 3 short years. But I want to show you the pathway from when he was 30, and it began by him getting baptized by John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. I'm going to look at Luke through this pathway because Luke is the author of Acts. All right, so Luke wrote 2 books. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote Acts. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, it says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.'" So in other Gospels, you can see that Jesus insisted that John the Baptist baptize him. And it wasn't for repentance because Jesus was sinless. Jesus knew, I got to get baptized by John the Baptist because when I come up out of the water, that's when the Holy Spirit's going to come upon me and anoint me for ministry. Amen. Hey, listen, we have a baptism coming up. And listen, I want to tell you there's going to be something special that happens at this baptism this year. All right, I think we got 10 of you signed up. I want to encourage you. If you have some friends, if you want to be baptized, just sign up for that. Well, right after Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, well, the next thing that happened is in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit," so the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time, and it says he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. So I was thinking about this. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. All right, now listen. The very first thing that the Holy Spirit did was lead Jesus into the wilderness where he's going to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Now I'm thinking, well, why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness where he would be tempted? And this is why. Because Jesus, being fully human, wanted us to see and want us to know that we have total and complete authority and victory over all the wiles of the devil. Yeah. Jesus wanted to show us that by the power of the Holy Spirit working through us and by the spoken word of God coming out of our mouth by faith, man, we can destruct and destroy every temptation of the devil. Yeah, you don't have to be bound by sin. Do you understand? We can be free. And the Lord showed us how to do that. So after this, Jesus begins his Galilean ministry in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. It says, "Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." So Jesus was filled with the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. And from this time on, Jesus went out and he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Everyone say the gospel of the kingdom. And the power of the Holy Spirit was confirming everything that he was saying, everything he was doing. The Holy Spirit was confirming his words with signs, wonders, and miracles everywhere he went. But recognize this did not happen until the Holy Spirit came upon him. That's what he's telling his disciples. Wait for the promise of the Father. You got to wait to be baptized with the Holy Spirit so that you can go out. And in Mark's gospel, in the Great Commission, Jesus told them that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, if they drink anything deadly, it won't harm them, and so on. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And the Bible says that the disciples went out and they preached everywhere, and it said the Lord was working with them, confirming their word with the accompanying signs. So listen, I want you to be expecting signs, wonders, and miracles, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Now listen, I want to say that we're not just chasing power encounters. All right, because I want to say this to you, that you can live, just because you are justified by faith and you are declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that still doesn't open you up to be able to walk in the miraculous. It's the power of the Holy Spirit coming on you. All right, so this is what I want to get at. I want to make sure that we're not just living in a one-time past experience that we had an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and then that's our testimony, but it happened 15 years ago. We want a testimonies. This is how the Holy Spirit breathed on me this morning during worship. Yeah, come on, are you hearing me? A constant relationship, a dialogue, so that we're sensitive to the things of the Spirit. Amen? So Jesus left, he returned in the power of the Spirit, and then he began to preach everywhere, and signs, wonders, and miracles were following him. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 says, Jesus went about all Galilee. He was teaching in their synagogues. Look at this, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Say that with me. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them all. What an incredible ministry. I mean, can you imagine what it was like? And so Jesus was sinless. He was perfect in every way, yet he still acknowledged his need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to do his ministry. And I'm saying, if he needed it, how much more us? Amen. We don't need to be striving to try to do things under our own strength. And so there's something that might make you feel weak if you say, I can't do it. Maybe there's something inside of you that challenges this thought that would make you think that I'm going to do it in my own strength. But I want to tell you, I think the Lord wants us to pull back and confess, Lord, I can't do it in my own strength. It's not by my might. It's not by my power. It's by your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Move through me with your Spirit. And then be sensitive to move as he teaches you and tells you where to go. Amen? That we would be quick to lay hands on the sick. You know, I told you last week that Everett, our little four-year-old grandson, you know, received Jesus. I told you that. He was asking mom while she was making breakfast and, you know, says, where does God live? And she goes, well, you know, he's all around us, but Daddy and I asked Jesus into our heart. And she said that little Everett went in his bedroom and she heard him praying. He didn't ask her, he just went. And he was praying and he came out jumping up and down and says, Jesus lives in my heart. I asked him. So listen, he was sick all last week. He wasn't feeling good. And so we get a text from Brittany and Brittany says, Mommy, will you anoint me? He's 4 years old. Will you lay hands on me? Will you anoint me? Listen, that's raising up our kids. Yeah. Why? Because we're depending on what God said he would do. Yeah. Are you hearing it? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. She was telling me this morning that she had some salsa. She was telling the worship team that she had some new salsa, and she was trying to open it. And Everett's going, Lord, give her strength to open the salsa. Come on, listen, a childlike faith. This is what I'm saying. So Brittany says everything, it's Jesus, give her strength. You know, help me open up the salt. Lord Jesus, help mommy open up the salt. You know, but listen, how many of you know this is okay? I think the Lord wants us to be like that, amen? So Jesus was completely sinless and he acknowledged his need to receive the power and promise of the Spirit. Let me show you a couple things here real quick. And let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Look at this. It says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but listen, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And how many of you know that's the Holy Spirit? Right? That's the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Well, this morning, I was reading ahead, you know, and I was looking at Acts chapter 2, and we'll get there, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, like a mighty rushing wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. You know that story? They all begin to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, right? And all the people that were in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost heard these 120 people speaking in their own language. The ones that were speaking it didn't know the language, but the people that were out there heard them speaking their own language, and they were speaking of the wonderful works of God. But Jesus told his disciples, wait for the promise of the Spirit. But I want to show you in Peter's sermon, I want to show you that Jesus received the promise of the Spirit. All right, so we're talking about, look at this, Acts chapter 2, verses 32 and 33. Peter is speaking. 3,000 people are about ready to come into the kingdom right here, by the way. Jesus, he said, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, verse 33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, listen, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So I'm showing you that Jesus was dependent on the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that's why he was telling his disciples, you got to wait for what I received. I received the promise. You got to wait for the promise. When the promise comes upon you, you're going to be witnesses, and you're going to do what I did. The works that I do, you will do because I go to my Father. Amen? Come on, how many can see you laying hands on the sick and seeing people recover? Yeah, how many of you can see yourself rolling up on what looks like an impossible situation and just bringing in the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking and seeing things change? Yeah, I think the Lord wants to release such things to ordinary people like you and me. Listen, you don't have to be a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist. Listen, I'm telling you, this is for you. This is for you. And we as LWC, man, we can't be just warming up them seats. Do you understand? We have to be able to go out with an expectation that we're going to turn somebody's world around by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. Yeah. Nothing's impossible for the Lord. And that's what I'm telling you, man, right now. I don't need social media platforms. Man, if everything got stripped away, I don't need anything more on my calendar. Your pastor right now, more than anything, I need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit because I feel a little dry inside. You know, I remember when I was an evangelist, a street evangelist, man, I was seeing signs, wonders, and miracles all over the place. You know, I was a pastor. Now I've been a pastor for over 27 years, and I'm thinking, Lord, I got to get back. Somehow I got to get back to that bold street evangelist. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to ditch the Word. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be driven by emotions. It doesn't mean that. But I'm telling you, as your pastor, there's something inside of me. I'm saying, Lord, I got to get back. I need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. That's why when we're singing, breathe it in, I'm going, I want to breathe in the Holy Spirit. I need it, church. And so do you. So there's a hunger inside of me. I'm just telling you. And there's a place I haven't arrived that I want to get to because we need it and the world needs it. Come on, are you hearing me? I'm getting passionate and I'm a little emotional. But there's something inside of me that is, and listen, I'm telling you, it's a hunger for righteousness, but it's a hunger for something more. Not striving after it. Do you understand? Can't strive after it. Your flesh won't get you there. We need the Word of God to build our faith. Amen? Now listen, I want to circle back. I want to switch gears a little bit. You know where we're going then as a church, right? And that's why we're encouraging you to fast from Friday afternoons at 3 o'clock until Sunday after church, whatever you want to fast from. You know, why are we doing that? Because you're denying your flesh something so that every time your flesh craves what you wanted, you get down and you pray and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. So we're encouraging you as a church. Listen, as I had someone come up last week and says, man, we might be in the book of Acts for a year and a half. Are you going to fast every Friday to Sunday? I said, I don't know. But I'm going to keep it out in front of me. I'm going to keep it out in front of me. Amen? So let's circle back. I want to show you now. I want to switch gears. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm going to have to move fast. It says, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and look at, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So before Jesus ascended into heaven, he appeared to his disciples over a course of 40 days, and he was speaking to them of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. And this is where I want to spend the remainder of our time this morning. Everyone say the kingdom of God. I want to spend the remainder of our time on this morning because the kingdom of God and the power of the Holy Spirit work hand in hand. All right? So the gospel of the kingdom, you know, the gospel of the kingdom and the power of the Holy Spirit, they work hand in hand because how many of you know where the kingdom of God is? There's power. Yeah, isn't that right? And so Jesus taught us to pray this. Do you remember? I mean, pray it with me. We'll have it on the screen, but pray it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say it with me. Yeah, Jesus said when you pray, one of the first things he said, I want you to pray and I want you to ask God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And so the kingdom of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, they work hand in hand. Remember in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, do not fear, little flock. Listen, let's pause right here. Listen, how many of you know there are a lot of things in our world to be afraid of? I mean, fear can creep on in just a minute. You can get afraid of sickness or disease, right? A fear of death. Man, weather patterns. You know, you can get afraid of earthquakes and tornadoes. And I mean, there's so many things that we can be afraid of. And fear can sneak in really easy. But look what Jesus said in Luke 12:32 to his disciples. He said, do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yeah, so this is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, but he also wants us to recognize that this gospel of the kingdom is important, and these two things work together. Everyone say the gospel of the kingdom. Absolutely. Listen, the gospel of the kingdom declares God's sovereignty. The gospel of the kingdom declares that God is, his sovereign rule is over all the universe, that he is absolutely in control. That's what the kingdom of God is. So the New Testament records 137 references to the kingdom of God. All right, 100 of those references are during Jesus' ministry. So Jesus' entire teaching and approach as the Messiah, as the Savior and King, centered on this theme. And it started with John the Baptist. All right, let's run through some of these verses. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Another translation says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. All right, so here's John the Baptist out there with, you know, camel's hair, you know, eating locusts and honey. Kind of a wild-looking dude, you know. And he's out there baptizing people, and Jesus comes. Jesus is coming. And he says, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, the kingdom was near because the king was here. And so John the Baptist is out baptizing people, and Jesus is coming, and John was announcing that Jesus, God's king, was on the scene. And listen, he was about to rule and overthrow all of the devil's darkness. He was about to reverse all of the darkness that the devil brought into the world. And John knew this, and this was his cousin. You know, Jesus was on the scene, and he was about to overthrow and reverse every penalty and every consequence of every sin anybody ever committed. It's a huge deal. The kingdom of God. So Jesus' presence would introduce the power of the kingdom of God. And so what does that mean to us? I mean, you ought to understand that this didn't happen right away. He got baptized, right, by John the Baptist, came up out of the water. The Spirit descended upon him like a dove. He was led by the Spirit. He came back in the power of the Spirit. But how many of you know that all of the things that we're talking about, the kingdom of God, reversing every sin, all this stuff, it didn't happen until he died and rose again. But listen, he's about to overthrow all these things. Yeah, so Jesus steps onto the scene, and the kingdom of darkness was confronted right at that moment. Everything from sickness to disease, everything from the demonic oppression, the demonic possession, demonic destruction was just, it was getting ready to be overthrown right now because Jesus stepped up on the scene. And that's a huge thing for us. It's a huge thing for us because we need to walk in the reality of the kingdom because that's who you are. You're citizens of the kingdom now. Amen. Listen, Jesus died. He rose from the grave now. He has already sent forth his Holy Spirit. So I want to tell you, you don't have to wait for it like the early disciples did. The Holy Spirit's already being poured out. That's why we just breathe him in. We just breathe him in and we begin to walk in the reality of the authority of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you, there's no sickness in heaven? Come on, are you hearing this? Yeah. There's no sin in heaven. All right, now we're not there yet, but we have a king who purchased for us the freedom from guilt, condemnation. Listen, for us to recognize the citizenship of the kingdom of God, what that really does for us, it means that I am no longer held hostage by any demonic captivity. Yeah, I'm no longer held hostage by guilt or shame or condemnation. Do you understand? I'm not held hostage to these things anymore. And we can walk in the freedom of that. And so as God's king, Jesus offers this blessing upon us, you know, that we can rule as Jesus rules. But we need to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So listen, I just wanted to bring some scriptures to show you that the kingdom of God is something that was preached. Jesus preached the kingdom of God in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. You know, I've had times where I would actually say that. You know, I'll pray for somebody, and maybe I'll pray for healing in Jesus' name, and I'll say, the kingdom of God has come upon you, and something releases. Something releases. You know, what are we doing? We're pulling down the kingdom of God, and we're bringing the kingdom principles and the kingdom power on earth as it is in heaven. And he uses you and I to do that. You know, when we stretch out a hand to heaven and we stretch out a hand to lay hands on somebody, we're making a connection, and the power of the kingdom, the authority of the kingdom, the power of the Holy Spirit can move through you to make that connection. Are you seeing this? Yeah, so listen, what is this about? It's about training. You know, it's about training and getting us recognizing that, man, I want to bring the power of the kingdom into somebody's life, the authority of the kingdom and the power of the Spirit into a situation that looks impossible. Recognize that I'm the conduit. Amen? Jesus sent his disciples to preach the kingdom of God in Luke chapter 9. He called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Look at how this is connected. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. See how those things are connected? See how they're connected? Jesus prophesied that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world before he returns. And Matthew 24:14 said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so I have a ton more verses that I don't really need to get into right now. But I wanted to share with you this morning, you know, where we're going, that, you know, kingdom ministry will not happen without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our lives, fresh in our life, all right? It won't happen. And so I really want to encourage you, you know, as we move forward. I'm out of time, but I want to really encourage you as we move forward. Man, will you position yourself? Just take some time and position yourself and ask for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come upon your life, okay? Next week, we're going to get into a couple more things, but I'm telling you, the Lord wants to do something. He wants to ignite you in a fresh way. Let me ask you this. How many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and received the gift of tongues in your life? Yeah. All right, now let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but those of you who have received your prayer language, how many of you practice that regularly? You don't have to raise your hand. You know, if you've received that and you don't exercise that and practice that, that's something missing. Understand? I mean, it's okay. And we'll talk about that. You know, that's a big conflict sometimes in the church. That, oh, tongues. You know, it's in the Bible. We can talk about that as we move forward. But I just want to really encourage us to recognize that the Lord has something fresh coming our way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Are y'all good? Yes. All right, let's stand to our feet. I want to let you get out of here. Listen, I want to tell you, I'm wanting to move through this slowly and carefully. And I want to be careful also that we don't cross the line and stir up emotions. All right? I want a genuine outpouring of the Spirit to take place, you know, in your life and in my life and in your kids' life. And we'll allow the Holy Spirit to move as he moves in our church service as well. But I want to make sure that we're moving this, because this has to be something that we continue with until Jesus returns, not just a one-time event. Amen? Amen. So, Father, I want to thank you for your word today, and thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are revealing to us where you want us to go. And, Lord, even during the worship service today, I was contemplating, should I just bring people to the altar and lay hands on them today? And Lord, I just was just sensing just to let you move individually. Lord, these are your children. And I thank you, Lord, that as they recognize and they're hungry for a visitation from you, Lord, it can happen on the drive home today. It can happen in the middle of the night. Lord, just as we sang today, it will come suddenly. It will come suddenly. And Lord, this isn't about me needing to get recognition that the Holy Spirit moves through me. Lord, this is more about them and their relationship with you. And so we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for the promise is for us, our children, and all those who are afar off. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill your people with a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that they would be washed thoroughly, overflowing, as Carlton said. And we thank you for this, Lord. We know we need it. We know we need this. And we're hungry for it. And we're hungry for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.